Please stand in reverence to the reading of God's Word. And the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, saying to the sixth angel, which had the trumpet, "Loose the four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates." And the four angels were loosed, which were prepared for an hour and a day and a month and a year, for to slay the third part of man. And the number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000,000. And I heard the number of them. And thus I saw the horses in the vision, and them that sat on them, having breastplates of fire, and of jasthan, and of brimstone. And the heads of the horses were as the heads of lions, and out of their mouths issued fire, and smoke, and brimstone. By these three was the third part of men killed, by the fire, and by the smoke, and by the brimstone which issued out of their mouths. And their power is in their mouth, and in their tails. For their tails were likened to serpents, and had heads, and with them they do hurt. And the rest of the men, which were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils, and idols of gold, and silver, and brass, and stone, and of wood, which neither can see, nor hear, nor walk. Neither repenteth they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts. Let us pray. Father, again thanking you for the precious Bible, the Word of God. Thank you, Lord, Father, tonight for the privilege of hearing from you through it. And Lord, we just ask you, Lord, to give this preacher power and wisdom. Lord, I need everything from you. I ask you for it, please, and help me to be a blessing by the preaching of the Word of God. Lord, your will be done in each and every heart that's here tonight. Bless the master's clubs. Be with them, Lord, and help the boys and girls learn to love you more tonight, those that's unsaved to be saved. Thank you now in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. You may be seated. Chapter 8, verse number 13, the very last verse of chapter 8, we was told that there was going to be three woe trumpets. Three more trumpets was going to be blowing, and they was going to be what we would call, or the Bible calls, woe trumpets. And then, of course, the first one, the first woe trumpet we covered last week, it talked about the fifth angel. It was the fifth trumpet, and it sounded, and a star fell from heaven unto the earth. It was given to him the key to the bottomless pit, and he opened that pit, and smoke, and like a great furnace, came out of that, covered the earth, and dimmed the sun, and polluted the air. And we find also that these locusts begin to come out of this smoke, what was called locusts, but they was horrible-looking creatures. We mentioned last week, we believe they was demonic spirits given bodies likened unto locusts. They was not the normal locusts, as far as they was not to touch the grass, the trees, or any green thing. But they was to sting mankind. They had the power, like a scorpion has power, to sting. And they was to sting and hurt mankind for 5 months. That is mentioned twice in that portion of Scripture. The length of time that was given unto them was a five-month period, a horrible, horrible period, and horrible suffering of men during that time. Now, of course, during that time also, God protected his sealed ones, the one that had been sealed in their forehead. I don't know exactly what that seal is, but I do know what the seal of God for us is. It's the Holy Spirit of God. We find that in Ephesians. He has sealed us with his Holy Spirit. When we get saved, we are sealed until the day of redemption. And that is a marvelous, wonderful thing to know you're sealed. It's not a seal that can be broken. It's a seal that's put there by God, and you don't break God's seals. And here we find that these were unable to hurt those who were sealed in their foreheads. And we'd read about them in chapter 7, the 144,000 there that was servants of God in chapter number 7. Now we come to the second woe and the sixth trumpet. And the Bible says, "And the sixth trumpet sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God." there was a voice here speaking. The Bible doesn't tell us who that voice is. I think it very well could be the one who is unloosening the seals. I don't know, and that's, of course, we know who that is. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. He has taken forth the book. He's the sealed book right before the seals were opened, and it's very possible maybe it's his voice that is giving instructions. I do not know, but we know we hear voices coming forward. And then if you notice, it says from the four horns of the golden altar. Now, if you'll remember over in chapter 8, verse 3, another angel came and stood at the altar having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. This is the same golden altar here. It's the altar right before the throne of God. It was where the prayers of the saints and also the incense, speaking there of certainly of the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. No prayer is worth anything unless it goes through the Lord Jesus Christ and through his power and because of him. Only can prayers reach God because of Jesus Christ and his finished work. We mentioned when we said that's good always to pray in the name of Jesus. Say it out loud. Say it. Because it's right and proper, because we're praying in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And so we find there, and I might go over talking about the four horns for just a moment. We're not going to spend a lot of time on it, but if you'll go with me to the book of Leviticus, the fourth chapter in the book of Leviticus. Fourth chapter, verse number 15. We'll just read a few verses. It says fourth chapter Leviticus, verse number 15. Elders of the congregation shall lay their hands upon the head of the bullock before the Lord, and the bullock shall be killed before the Lord. And the priest that is anointed shall bring of the bullock blood to the tabernacle of the congregation, and the priest shall dip his finger in some of the blood and sprinkle it seven times before the Lord, even before the veil. And he shall put some of the blood upon the horns of the altar which is before the Lord, that it is that is in the tabernacle of the congregation, and shall pour out all the blood of the bottom of the altar of the burnt offering which is at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. Around this altar that's set right inside the tabernacle, as you entered the outer court of the tabernacle, was an altar. And that is where the sacrifices was burnt. It was an altar that had a flame on it, coals on it, burning continually. And that's where the offerings were offered. Also at each corner of that altar was a horn-shaped affair that come up off of each corner. That is the horns, because the altar in the tabernacle and the tabernacle was taken from the pattern that is in heaven. So we find here now that same looking, built the same as far as in heaven here, an altar with fire on it, and also then the horns coming off of each corner of that altar. Now, in past days, and we might just, in just a little bit of background, we'll go over to 1 Kings, not spending a lot of time, but 1 Kings, the first chapter. Let me share with you a little something about horns. In fact, they would go to the horns of the altar, and they would grab a hold of those, and they would cling to those, the horns speaking of power, and they would seek there the forgiveness and the mercy of God there at those altars. And we're going to show you just an illustration of that, where they was allowed and given mercy because there they was clinging on the altar. 1 Kings, the first chapter, the 50th verse. And Adonijah feared because of Solomon, and arose and went and caught hold on the horns of the altar. And it was told Solomon, saying, Behold, Adonijah feareth King Solomon, for lo, he hath caught hold on the horns of the altar, saying, Let King Solomon swear unto me today that he will not slay his servant with a sword. And Solomon say, If he will show himself a worthy man, there shall not a hair of him fall to the earth, but if wickedness shall be found in him, he shall die. So King Solomon sent, and they brought him down from the altar, and he came and bowed himself to King Solomon, and Solomon said unto him, Go to thine house. And here's an illustration of them holding on to the altar and seeking the mercy of God, and here King Solomon showed that mercy. There was another time when he did not show mercy to one who grabbed a hold of the horns of the altar. Joab did the very same thing. He went and grabbed a hold of the horns of the altar seeking mercy. If you read the life of Joab, Joab was a very wicked man. He was a mean man. And he had a lot to do in David's kingdom, but he was a mean man. And there was no mercy showed him. He was taken down off the horns of the altar, and he was slain. And so, but that's what it's talking about. As we go back here to the book of Revelation, it's talking about the four horns of the altar. And might just say to you, it speaks here of the altar here. The brazen altar shows the divine requirement that sin be judged by fire. And that's the way it always was. But then they would put blood on the horns, which also showed that the redemption would be from the blood. And redemption's always through the blood. Amen. It's always through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. So now going back to the book of Revelation 9, chapter 14th verse, and it says, saying to the sixth angel which had the trumpet, loose the four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates. Now, Euphrates, the river Euphrates, the first time that is found in Scripture, you go back to the book of Genesis where the description is given of Eden. And the Bible tells us there was a river that went out of Eden, and then that river divided into four different rivers, Euphrates being one of those rivers, right there in the very Garden of Eden, right near the Garden of Eden, right in the very place where humanity began. And of course, that's where, near in that area, I don't think they know, we don't know exactly where that is at, but we know in that area over there, and Israel is considered the center of the earth. And right in that very area, in that area, is where, of course, Eden was, somewhere in there. That's where the Garden of Eden was. That's also where the sin of man was committed. That's where it all began, right over there in that area, you see. And also, that's where the first murder was committed. Right over there in that area where we're talking about, over around Israel, in that area over there is where the first murder was committed. And then, of course, the first martyr was killed there. That was Abel. Cain killed Abel. The very first martyr to ever die was Abel. And he was over in that same area, see, around where the Eden was. And, of course, that's where they were when the flood began. See, all of this began right over there in that area. That's also in that same near area concerning around the Euphrates River is where the Tower of Babel was built. That's where it was built. And also, that's where the Jews, near Babylon, is where the Jews spent their captivity for 70 years captivity. So all of this has a rich history, see, over in that area. And so we find also, and of course, in that general area is where the final battle is going to be taking place. Of course, in Israel, that will take place. But all over in that old area over in the Middle East is where all of this has taken place, you see. And it all centers back to that. In fact, the Euphrates River was what I guess you would call it kind of the northern and northeastern border of the Promised Land that God promised Israel. The Euphrates River was that northeastern boundary of the Promised Land. So you see, Euphrates River, when you talk about the Euphrates River, that is, it has rich in biblical history, you see. And so that's what he's saying here, saying the sixth angel, which had the trumpet loosed, loosed the four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates. Now somewhere underneath or in that area around the Euphrates River, somewhere maybe down deep into the abyss underneath the Euphrates River, I don't know where it was, but it says it was bound in the Euphrates River, these four angels. Now, these four angels were wicked angels, or they would not have been bound. If you look in the Scriptures, you'll find there's two classes. I call them just for two classes of angels, wicked angels, when the ones that are bound and the ones that are loose. There's those who are loose to do, and they're the ones that are Satan's domain, the demons. And let me say to you, they're everywhere. If the Spirit of God would lift our that veil that we could look, it would scare us to death. The old demons are everywhere. Only by the grace of God can you live today, folks. Amen. And those demons are busy, constantly busy, doing everything they can to hinder the souls from getting saved. And they're doing everything they can to hinder you as a Christian. They do everything they can to hinder you. Why does a bad spirit come upon you sometimes? Well, I'll guarantee you it's not from God. No, that's not from God. Bad spirit's not from God. No, so why does that happen? No, I tell you, Satan's always busy. He's constantly busy. You know that. I know that. You see, and he has hordes of angels everywhere. And then, of course, he has that group of angels that are bound down in the bottomless pit, you see, in special places and down below, you see. He has them bound there in chains of darkness, you see. That's what he says over in the book of Jude, and I think also in the book of Peter also he talks about those that are bound there. And so the rest of it, I wondered sometime, I don't know this, I just, you know, you think, you wonder about it. Why was some of them bound? Why was some of them not bound? And I always kind of wondered if maybe those that was bound were hideous, more wicked type angels that had done terrible, horrible, wicked things, and God bound them and would not let them loose. I wonder about that. I don't really know, of course. I don't think the Scriptures tells us. But anyway, there is some that's bound until the days of redemption, until the day of judgment, excuse me. And then there's also those that are loose, Satan's hordes. I mean, I'm not talking about just a few angels running around. I have no idea. The Bible teaches it, says that they're innumerable. You cannot number them. And I don't know how many, of course. Don't suppose we can number them, but they must be horrible amounts of demons everywhere. Amen. That's why you and I need God's grace. We need God's power helping us day by day, folks, because they're always there wanting to hinder you in your Christian life, wanting to lead you astray. I could tell you stories. I maybe will sometime, but I won't tell it all. But I can tell you stories of people got mixed up in Satanism and got mixed up with these demons. I mean, this one man actually told me that he literally sat down at a table and he would writing exactly what the demon told him to write. I mean, you think some people don't think demons are real. They don't think they're valid today. You just don't understand. You don't understand the Bible. They are. That's why you need the Holy Spirit of God in you as a child of God. And then you need to be under control of the Holy Spirit of God, you see. You need to be under His control, see, because they're real. Amen. And they're wicked, you see. They're very, very, very wicked. All right. So these four angels had been bound in the Euphrates River, and they were about to be loosed. And in verse number 15 it says, "And the four angels were loosed, which were prepared for an hour and a day and a month and a year for to slay the third part of men." Now in the book of Revelation, the way I face the book of Revelation, there is many multitudes of Bible students that's so much greater Bible student than I am. They've got better understanding of the Greek and all of that than they're better understanding of that. But the way I face the Bible is, there is certain things here in the book of Revelation that I know are fact because God says they're fact. And I can pick them out and I can say, you know what, that's the way it is. Now there's some things in the book of Revelation, and listen to me, I've read all kinds of men down through the years. I've read their commentaries. I've read things about the book of Revelation. And some of these men are brilliant men. And you'll find out when you read these men, you'll find out that they don't really know either. Not some of the particulars. I mean, they can give you some ideas and some thoughts. But there's some of the particulars that just no one knows what God's going to do and how God's going to do it. But there is certain things that he just makes a statement. He said, this is what's going to happen. And we may not know exactly how it's all going to take place, but we know it's going to happen. And so we find here one with the trumpet, he was to loose the four angels that was bound. There was four angels bound. How do I know that? The Bible says it was. See, now you don't have to fool around with that. You don't have to say, wonder if that was the way it went. No, that's the way it was. There was four angels bound, and they was bound to the River Euphrates. Amen? But that's what the Bible says. So you can know that for sure. You don't have to doubt. You don't have to wonder. You just know those things for sure. And then we also know that those four angels were loosed, because verse 15 tells us that. And he says, which were prepared for an hour and a day and a month and a year for to slay the third part of men. We know also they had been prepared ahead of time. God prepared them ahead of time. He said they was prepared for an hour, a day, a month, and a year. Now, I'm just going to share with you. I believe he is bringing it down to a particular time, an hour of a certain day, of a certain month, of a certain year. Now, that's what I believe. Some commentators, some people look at it and say, well, maybe that he's talking about that this here plague will last 13 months. You know, all I know is this. He said it was prepared, and I believe there's a certain hour that this is going to happen. I believe a certain day, God's already got it planned, certain month. God's already got it planned, and a certain year, it's already planned. And it's going to happen just like that. And these angels was prepared ahead of time by God. They was bound there in the Euphrates River ahead of time. I suppose back at the judgment when they fell, I don't know for sure, but he prepared them and has had them there all of these years just waiting in preparation to do this thing that he had them prepared for. And then, of course, they had a purpose. And that purpose was to kill one-third of mankind. Now, that was their purpose. And that's going to happen. Now, one-fourth of mankind had already died under the seals. Remember that? One-fourth of mankind had died under the seals. And also, we know the rapture had happened. Now, I mean, I'm looking at it from a standpoint of right now, they say there's around 6 billion people on earth. Close to 6 billion people across the earth. And the rapture happens, and I don't know how many that'll take. One-fourth is killed in the seals. And now also we've seen with the souls under the altar, there was many, many of those that believed upon the Lord was killed and slain for their faith and will be on through the tribulation period. And now it comes along and he says one-third of man is going to die. Now, I don't know what that is, but I'm just thinking in my own mind, make it easy. I like easy figuring. Amen. I don't know whether you do or not, but I like easy figuring. And if you figure there's going to be 3 billion people left, that means 1 billion is going to die. Now, see, I don't know how many is going to be left, so I can say 3 billion. See, I mean, I can just use that as a number because I don't know how many is left. But if it was 3 billion left, see, that would be 3 billion already gone. Amen. And so 3 billion left, that means 1 billion people is going to die under this here trumpet right here. Whew. Now, folks, you're talking about bad business. Amen. Now, this is going to happen during the tribulation period. God says it's going to happen. The whole purpose of these angels was to see to it that one-third of mankind would die. They was loosed for that very purpose, that very reason. And then in verse number 16, he says, the number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000, and I heard the number of them. Now, we also find out here, if you take that verse of Scripture, it says 200,000. You take 200,000, and you take it times 1,000, you get 200 million. Now, this is the size of the army. 200 million. Whew. Quite a army, amen? 200 million. He gives us the amount, the number of this army. And in fact, he was given this number. If you look in verse 16, and at the end of it, he says, and I heard the number of them. There was a voice. There was somebody. God sent an angel, or God did it himself, told him there was 200 million in the army. He didn't have time to count all them. Amen. But he said he was given the number, and he heard the number of them, and there was 200 million of them. Amen. That's a very, very large army. Amen. And I might mention in it, and we'll just go back to chapter 16 just a moment of Book of Revelation, chapter 16. I'll read verse number 12. Verse number 12 says, and the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. Now, what reason I went back and read this? This is under one of the vials, one of the sixth vial that we'll get to when we get to chapter 16, and it talks about again the river Euphrates. I personally do not believe there's a connection between the sixth vial and the sixth trumpet. Reason I'm saying that is simply I don't know that we can go back there and say, well, the river Euphrates being dried up and it made way for the kings of the east, and I do believe there's going to be a great army from the east come because the Bible says there will. And that'll probably include China and Japan and probably India and some of those big eastern nations over there. They'll come across the Euphrates River because it's all dried up. But I personally do not believe this is the same army that we have here. I believe that's a different army in the vial there, the sixth vial. But you notice it's a battle. It's an army of 200 million of them. And what we're going to do is we're going to look at the description of them again, because here's where you have to say, Lord, give us help. We don't know. I personally don't know. And the reason I'm going to say this ahead of time, I don't know if this is an army of men, or I don't know if this is an army of monstrosities like we saw in the locusts, because description of them is horrendous. It's just terrible. And I'm not sure. Are they an army of men? It talks about the horsemen, but then it begins to talk about the horses, and they're odd horses. He calls them horses, but they're very odd horses. Like he called the other ones a locust, but the description of them was a hideous thing, you know, of a locust, you know. And he called them here horses, but they're not the normal horse that you and I would see. They're different, and he's going to give us a description of these horses. And he noticed in verse number 17, he says, "Thus I saw the horses in the vision, and them that sat on them, having breastplates of fire and of jacinth and of brimstone, and the heads of the horses." Now it seems to be that he's talking about them that sat on it had the breastplate, and it was the whether he was describing the color of them, the fire, the red, the jacinth, the blue, and the brimstone, the yellow. I don't know what he's calling that, or whether it was the way it looked, the way he saw it, but it looked like the breastplate of those who sat upon the horses. And then he changes and talks about the brimstone, and the heads, goes back to talking about the horses. And the heads of the horses were as the heads of lions. Now, I've never seen a horse that had a head of a lion, or looked like a head of a lion. It said it was likened to a head of a lion. See, he's given us some symbols there, and looking what it looked like to him. Now, I've never seen a horse myself that looked like a lion. Look like a head of a lion. But it's an odd horse, if it is, you see, whatever it is. And he says the horse were heads of lions, and out of their mouth issued fire and smoke and brimstone. Now, I want to tell you something, folks. I've seen a lot of horses. I've never seen no horse that belched out fire. Amen. I've seen some wanting to, but I've never seen a horse that belched out fire and smoke and brimstone. So he's describing something here that this horrible army, this 200 million of them, and we'll talk about it in a minute, but you know, all of us can kind of conjure up some thoughts. We say, well, I know what that is. We've done that all down through the centuries. So we've all thought we know what this is, and I'll give you an illustration of that in just a few minutes. But, you know, I don't think we really know for sure what that is. But we do know the facts about it. We know he calls them horses, and they had heads like unto a lion. And they was belching out fire and smoke and brimstone. We know that's true because that's what the Bible says, out of its mouth. Amen? And so we know for sure that is true. Now in verse 18, he goes on and says, "By these three was the third part of men killed, by the fire and by the smoke and by the brimstone which issued out of their mouths." And again, he says, what was it that killed mankind? What was it that killed a third part of men? And he mentions again, the third part of men is going to die. Now, folks, I don't know if you can get a little picture of that, but I think we ought to kind of remember a billion people is going to die. And, folks, that's just almost unbelievable. It isn't because the Word of God says so, but can you imagine a billion people? Right now, you see, that's one-sixth of all the people on the earth, a billion people. When you talk about a 200 million army, you know, America has a little over 200 million. That'd be just about everybody in America. I don't remember how many America has. It has 200 and some odd. Does anybody know approximately?
270.
They have 270? I didn't realize it's that high. Okay. Well, thank you, Brother Wayne, because I didn't realize it's that high. All right, 270. So, I mean, they'd take 70 million from that, and then it'd be the rest of the people in America. That's the army. Well, that'd be a big army. Amen? And so anyway, we find that this smoke and this fire and the smoke and brimstone comes out of its mouth. Okay? And then in verse 18, it was said that by them, by the fire, by the smoke, and by the brimstone is how people's going to die. Okay? They're going to die by the fire, the smoke, and the brimstone. They're going to die by that because that's what the Word of God says. I know that because that's what God said. Now, I know in our own minds we can look at that and we think, boy, that sounds like atomic or nuclear weapons, don't it? I mean, it sounds like it, because that's what happens when nuclear weapons is set off. So, all I'm saying is, I'm not trying to say it is. I'm just trying to say that that's what's going to happen. And it's out of the mouth of these creatures, whatever they are, is going to come out of them, and they're going to kill. Imagine that, what would have to come out of them to kill 1 billion people. Horrible thing, you see. And so anyway, that's how they're going to die. And then in verse number 19, he says, "For their power is in their mouth and in their tails. For their tails was like unto serpents and had heads, and with them they do hurt." Here it talks about their power. We've already seen that the power, and that makes sense, comes out of their mouth, fire, smoke, and brimstone. But he goes on and he says, "But also their tails." And if you notice, it says their tails is like a serpent. Now, we know these are demonic, because the serpent always a picture of old Satan, see, the old serpent. These are demonic beings anyway, demonic controlled. And here we got, and it says that the serpent is like, their tails are like a serpent, and it says it has a head. Read it there. It says it has a head. Now, I don't know what kind of creature that is. I'm just going to have to admit, maybe somebody can shed some light on it for me. I'd love to. I'd love to read about it, love to hear. But I haven't found anybody else knows either. I've read commentaries, and I've read about everything I can read on it, and we just don't know, or I don't know exactly, but I know it's going to be there. I know it's going to look just like John said it was, and it's going to be, the tails are going to, like a tail, and going to be like a head, and it's going to hurt them like fangs. And the head is going to have a mouth where it'll belch out fire and smoke and brimstone. 200 million of them. And they're going to kill, if our figures are even near, around 1 billion people. Whew. You know, we try to conjure up, and I think all of us do that down through the centuries, down through the years. All people has always tried to do that. They've tried to look at that and say, what is that? I read an article here a while back during the World War II. I think it was, somebody can help me, it was a B-17 bomber that had the gunner in the back. It wasn't the B-17, Brother Dave, or somebody, I think that's what it was, a B-17 bomber, I'm pretty sure, and they had this gunner turret that turned, and they could fire out the back of the airplane at planes that was attacking them. And this one guy, he was a good Bible study, he said, that's what that is. And we'll look at it, and we may be close to it. Right now we could be close to it, but I'm just saying, we don't know for sure what it is, but it's going to be just like the Bible says it is. Amen? We do know that. So I can't come and tell you what it is, whether it is nuclear weapons. See, it may be something that has nuclear weapons in it, or it may just be demonic monstrosities that God allows to come upon this earth and destroy. All I know, either way, it's going to be something horrible. Amen? It's just going to be horrible. And then he says in verse number 20, he says, "And the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk." Can you imagine this? Repented not. They saw the locusts, stung for 5 months, tormented, 1 billion, using that figure, 1 billion men killed, and they still don't repent? All these monstrosities that come upon the earth, whatever they are, they see that, they look at that, and they repent not. I just want to say something to you. The heart of man is wicked, deceitfully wicked. And I can prove in the Bible, and we don't have time tonight to do that, but I will do it. I'm proving the Bible, the reason people don't want to repent is because they don't want to repent. They don't come to the light because they're deeds are evil. They love their darkness, and they don't want to. You hear people today that just don't want to get saved. You say, well, brother, I wish they'd get saved. I do too, but I want to tell you right now, they're not getting saved because they don't want to. You know what? They love their sin. Not that. I'm talking about if they're given the gospel. They reject the gospel. You know why they reject it? They love their sin. They want to remain in it. They don't want to do anything else. They want to stay right there in their sin. They love it too much to repent of it, you see. And so we find here, let's go back over Deuteronomy just for a couple more verses of Scripture here. Deuteronomy, the 32nd chapter. Verse number 15, I want to start reading. It said, but Jehushram waxed fat and kicked. Thou art waxen fat. Thou art growing thick. Thou art covered with fatness. Then he forsook God, which made him, and listen, and lightly esteemed the rock of his salvation. Lightly esteemed him. Now listen. They provoked him to jealousy with strange gods. With admonitions provoked they him to anger. They sacrificed unto devils, not to God. To gods whom they knew not, to new gods that came newly up, whom your fathers feared not. And then it says, of the rock that begat thee, thou art unmindful, and hast forgotten God that formed thee. And when the Lord saw it, he abhorred them because of provoking of his sons and of his daughters. And he said, I will hide my face from them. I will see that their end shall be, for they are a very forward generation, children in whom is no faith. They have moved me to jealousy with that which is not God. They have provoked me to anger with their vanities, and I will move them to jealousy with those which are not a people. I will provoke them to anger with a foolish nation. For a fire is kindled in my anger, and shall burn unto the lowest hell, and shall consume the earth with her incense, and set on fire the foundations of the mountains. And I will heap mischief upon them, and I will spend mine arrows upon them. And they shall be burnt with hunger, and devoured with burning heat, and with bitter destruction. I will also send the teeth of the beast upon them, and the poison of serpents of the dust. And sword without, and terror within, shall destroy both the young man and the virgin, the suckling also with the man of gray hairs. Now, the horrible condition that God says, and the judgment that he said he's going to bring there, it all goes back. If you go back and say, why is God doing this? You'll always find out it's because of the worship of false gods. Turning away from God and worshiping these false gods. Gods that are not gods. Amen. And that's exactly what's going on back here in the tribulation period. That's exactly what's going on. They're worshiping, as the Bible says. Probably won't have time to do all that right now. But as the Bible says, they're worshiping the idols of stone and of wood and of gold and of silver. Things that can, the Bible says, that over in Psalm 115, he says they can't talk, they can't speak, they can't walk. And yet they're worshiping them. Now I want to tell you something, makes God mad. Amen. And that's what's happening in the book of Revelation. God is angry. And people have turned their back on the Lord Jesus Christ and refused to do what they should with him. And now the judgment of God is coming upon them, you see. And so there, in going back in Revelation to chapter or verse number 20, the rest of the men which were killed by these plagues yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood which neither can see nor hear nor talk. You notice there what he says? That's what they're worshiping. Listen, you got to remember something, folks. Listen very carefully. The church is gone. The restraining power of the Holy Spirit is gone. I mean, the Satan has been turned loose. And they are worshiping Satan, the devil, fully. I mean, they're doing it today. Can you imagine after the Holy Spirit, the restraining power of the Holy Spirit is gone? Can you imagine what will happen? And they're worshiping here during that time of idols of gold and silver, brass and stone and wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk. They're worshiping these, you see. And I can't imagine that. But you say, Brother Ross, I can't imagine. They see this, don't you? Won't they turn to God? No, they won't turn to God. They love their sin. It's just like I said earlier. They love their sin. They want to remain in their sin. They don't want to turn to sin from their sin. They don't want to come to the light, because the light will show their sin up. And they won't come to the light. And they do it because they don't want to. They love their sin, and they want to remain in it. Just quickly, and we'll close. Verse 21. Neither repent they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts. There's four prevalent sins here during that time. Remember, unrestrained by the Holy Spirit of God. Remember, Satan turned loose completely. His power turned loose to do pretty well what he wants to do. He's been given the key to the bottomless pit, remember? And all the filth that came out of that, the monstrosities, then we saw tonight, those murderers, you think the murder rate is bad now? Can you imagine what will happen during that time? People will be murdering each other for anything, for food or for anything. They'll be murdering each other. Sorceries. We really ought to spend a lot of time on these, but just let me give them to you real quick. Sorceries. The Greek word for sorceries is the same word that America gets its word pharmaceutical out of. Pharmacy. And what it's talking about when it talks about sorcery, it's talking about drugs. You think the drug culture is bad now? You haven't seen anything till you've seen during the tribulation period. I mean, they're going to be just living off of drugs, murders and sorceries. And he says fornications. You think it's bad now? The wickedness of adultery and fornication is bad now in America. You haven't seen nothing. I mean, it's just going to go rampant everywhere. And then thefts. People is going to be stealing. I mean, just stealing everything they can get their hands on. Remember, a lot of them won't have water. A lot of them won't have food. They won't have the necessities of life, and they're going to be stealing. And he says they won't turn from those wicked things. But let me say to you, God's going to put them out of business. By the end of the tribulation period, you remember Sodom and Gomorrah? You remember the Sodomites in Sodom and Gomorrah? You remember what God did? God put them all out of business. He rained fire and brimstone on them. And I want to tell you something. God's going to put the Sodomites out of business. He's going to put the abortion clinics out of business. Amen. He's going to put the houses of prostitution out of business. Amen. He's going to put what they call the adult bookstores out of business. He's going to put the old videos that people buy and today and oh, they say they're not too bad, but they got the filth in them. He's going to put all those stores out of business. And he's going to put Hollywood out of business. He's going to put the rock music out of business. There won't be any. When God gets done in the tribulation period, I'll guarantee you something. It's going to be a different place in the millennial. He's going to rule with a rod of iron. And I want to ask you right now, just answer me a question. Do you think one of the Lord's music stations will have rock on it during the millennial? Then if he wouldn't then, why do we now? See, it's foolish. You just ask the Lord what he'd have you do, and you know better. Lord wouldn't let that in his ear. No way, that junk. He wouldn't allow it in his ear. He wouldn't look at videos. He wouldn't look at a Hollywood picture. I'm just saying, he's going to put them out of business. Amen. Let's pray. Father, again, thanking you today for your goodness and your kindness and your grace and your mercy. Thank you for who you are and how great you are. And Lord, we realize there is coming that day when you're going to judge. And I ask you, God, help us, please help us to be faithful, to see multitudes saved. Lord, before you come, in Jesus' name, amen.